Good afternoon and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Deborah Powers. I'm sorry I'm late getting to you today, but like most people, we have teenagers who like to touch our things, and I was having some technical difficulties, to say the least. For those of you tuning in from Israel, shalom and erev tov. Bride of Christ Radio is committed to bridging the gap between Israel and the nations, educating the world against anti-Semitism, and supporting the legitimate nation of Israel. In future broadcasts, I'll be discussing the situation in the Middle East, attacks on Israel, how it affects the United States and the rest of the West, as well as suicide bombings and why they occur. I'm a firm supporter of Israel myself and an advocate for the Jewish people. If you'd like more information on the conditions in the Middle East and where you can attend live events in your area, go to kufi.org. That's Christians United for Israel. .org and click on events in the upper right corner to view the calendar of local events in your area. I'm only a member of KUFI and I'm not a spokesperson for their organization. However, I'm committed to the Jewish people as much as KUFI, since they are a wonderful grassroots organization who's dedicated to educating the world and creating one voice for Israel. I support KUFI as well. As well as the Word of God saying, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. In addition, I'm personally here to minister to the masses of souls who've been wounded, broken, lost, and searching for a shepherd. It doesn't matter if you're Muslim, if you're from Asia, if you're Jewish, I don't care what background, ethnicity, or your beliefs. Everyone has the opportunity to receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. Again, I'm your host, Deborah Powers. If you'd like to reach out to me via email, you can write to talk@wbocradio.org, or you can write to me at WBOC Radio, P.O. Box 413, McMinnville, Tennessee, 37111. If you'd like to call into the broadcast today with questions or comments, the number is 515-602-9613. I'll do my best to take your calls today. I am, like I said, having some technical difficulties, and I do not have a headphone, so we might get some feedback. You can also join my blog and get copies of my books or listen to previous episodes of the podcast at wbocradio.org. You can also like us on Facebook at wbocradio.org, where the podcasts are posted immediately after the broadcast. That's facebook.com/wbocradio.org. So stay tuned over the next few months for in-depth studies for my latest book, Mystery of the Ketubah. These studies will include revealing the identity of the bride. If you don't understand what it means to be a bride of Christ, or when people, or even in the Word of God, when it talks about Jesus is coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle, you're going to understand exactly what he was talking about. You're going to get to know the Jewish roots of Christianity and understand cultural divisions and ancient Jewish wedding traditions in Israel, which Jesus referred to throughout the scriptures. So when we read the Word of God through the eyes of a bride, the mysteries of the Word can be understood by anyone. You don't have to be a scholar or a theologian to decipher the Word of God when you've been equipped with the true identity of the church. You won't want to miss this. You're going to figure out exactly who you are. And when you open the Word, it's going to go from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And everything that you read, you're going to be able to understand it on your own because you're going to know who you are. Now, that might not make sense right now, but when you understand in the Word what he's talking about, who he's referring to, and exactly how we became known as the bride of Christ, then you can't mistake any of the translations or miss anything in the Word at that point. Special offer for those of you who are serious about contributing to the discussions on this broadcast. If you'd like to be part of the show, beginning with the series Mystery of the Ketubah, I'm going to start that in January. I'll send you a free copy of my book for you to read and study, and we'll discuss the topics on the air. So just give us a call at 931-563-3377 or write to talk@wbocradio.org and put book in the subject line. All right, make sure you send us your contact information so we're able to get back in touch with you during the process. Again, if you want to call in right now, You know, I won't answer the call, but I do have the studio assistant who will answer the call. It's 931-563-3377. If you're out of country, go ahead and email me. No matter what, you're going to be able to get in contact with us, and we'll either call you back or find out. You can even leave a message on that phone if that's what you need to do. So don't worry about it. I also want to announce the launch of the new website. It's at wbocradio.org. There are many resources and information for you to receive on here. I'm extremely excited about it. I've worked diligently making sure that I have given you all the information that you possibly could need to succeed. When you click on the broad WBOCradio.org, the front page, you're going to see some scrolling images of upcoming news events. You're going to be able to look at our purpose for Bride of Christ Radio, Bride of Christ Publishing, Fellowship, and Bach TV. All right, if you click to begin, you can't miss it. I know you can't see it right now unless you've gone to the website and you're following along with me. There's a red button right in the middle of the scrolling screen, and it says click to begin. What it's going to do is slide down. It's going to show you the upcoming broadcasts. You could actually listen to them live right here as I'm talking. If I clicked on it right now, you could listen to me. Go down a little bit further, and it talks about the mystery of the ketubah and the ancient Jewish marriage contract, which dates all the way back to Moses. It explains what the ketubah is and gives you a short synopsis of just a general bit of information there. Over to the right-hand side in the tool, or it's not a toolbar, it's just the sidebar. It says subscribe today, and you can receive upcoming broadcasts to our latest blog. All you got to do is put your first and last name in there and your email address and hit subscribe. I'll be able to contact you and send you information on the upcoming broadcast so you won't miss them. We'll also be able to talk about Bach Publishing. In the menu bar at the top, you can click on Bach Publishing. It's going to take you to the books that are available. Bach Fellowship, I'm going to click on that right now and let you, so you'll understand exactly what it is you're looking at. It says Israel on the Street, September 2019. So we've got all the pictures. Well, we don't have all the pictures. We've got thousands of images that we've taken over there. But you're going to be able to see pictures of me and other people that's been over there. The studio assistant, Crystal Perry, she's on here many times. You'll be able to see images of the Shuk and some of the Jewish people that are on the streets. I got pictures of the IDF on here and other people that we've met from Germany and France, Poland. We have Ola and Anna. I'm just going to tell you their first names. And we have Susan and her father that's on here as well. We met them from Guatemala. I hope they're listening today. Shout out to y'all in Guatemala. And there's just lots of images here of the people on the street. So we call this, when we go over there, Israel on the Street, because we take groups of less than 10 people, and there could be several groups, but we're not all together, and we go at different times. And we literally get to experience Israel on the street without being stuffed into a big tour bus along with, 50 other people with two or three buses following each other. And every time you get to a place, it's extremely crowded. But you're still going to get to experience all the things that they experience, except for you're going to be up close and personal. It'll be a real blessing if you decide you want to do that with us. You can go to Bach TV blog that I have in the menu. When you click on that, you're going to see some of the things that we've experienced over in Israel on the street. We also got to go to the Sifting Project with and listen, and by the way, it was a very rare opportunity that we got to listen to one of the founders of the Sifting Project speak. He talks about where this dirt that they're sifting through came from. It came from the Temple Mount by the Islamic officials in 1999, and his name was he's a professor of archaeology, Gabriel Barquet. So I might be mispronouncing his name. But there's lots of relics in there and videos that you'll get to see. You'll get to see the ancient river from Taldan, and we've videotaped some of that, and we've put that on there as well as the water cisterns under the City of David. And I have a picture of Ola on the front screen of the image saver for looking out over Qumran from the first cave of the Dead Sea Scrolls. That's very exciting. We've never hiked up there before this time, and we've got to spend it with some wonderful sisters in Christ. Also, give you a tour of the caves of the Western Wall. And exactly what that is it's a tour where you can, where the Western Wall, where you might not understand exactly what it is or how long it actually is, because it continues to go on underneath the wall, where you see when you're looking at the Western Wall, or what Christians like to say, the Wailing Wall, you can look to the left and there's a big wall to the left of that. And there's the men's section to the left, and it's called the Kotel. It means the wall. And then there's the women's section to the right. Well, that wall actually continues. The Western Wall continues through that wall, but you have to go through the caves where they've done some excavation and archaeologists have gone in and looked. And so these are some wonderful videos. I also have a video on here. It's called Worship Service at the Garden Tomb. It was totally unexpected. I had a wonderful time in the Lord worshiping with the sisters and brothers in Christ from China in Mandarin. And what it was is Crystal and I were coming out of the tomb, at the Garden Tomb. We were inside. And when we walked out, I heard this singing. Now, it's not like there wasn't lots of groups around and there was people singing everywhere. But the difference was is that the Holy Spirit just drew me. And I couldn't stop. And I just continued to walk towards this music. And when I get there, I invite myself into their area, which it's not private. Anybody could go anywhere, but you respect people when they're having a prayer meeting. And that's what they were doing. And they were singing and worshiping. And the Holy Spirit just fell on me. And I began to worship with them. And I just went into the back of their service and raised my hands and began to worship. And what you see, I don't know why I did this. Normally, when the Holy Spirit's moving upon me like that, I don't pull out my camera and start videotaping, but I did. This time I did. And you can read the story on the website, wbocradio.org. Click on Bach Fellowship, and you'll get to see that video as well as us taking communion. You'll also get to experience the Daniel boat on the Sea of Galilee. And we have a short clip of Daniel singing there. He is a Jewish Christian who was saved over 30 years ago on his boat when he was giving tours to Christians. We also have the Herodian Street video on here. It's a street that exists under the new streets of Jerusalem right now that goes from, it's a route from the Western Wall, takes about 30 minutes to get through it, and goes up from the City of David, or whichever way you'd want to say whether it's up or down. I think you can come down, but I think it did say when I was reading some information on it, we just happened to go from the City of David up to the Western Wall. Anyway, this street was very bustling at the time in its day, 2,000 years ago. There's lots of relics to be found in there as they continue to excavate. You're going to get to see a beautiful video of Yardanit at the Jordan River and the Garden of Gethsemane. We have one of the clearest days that I've ever experienced in Israel. And I've been there many times looking out over the Mount of Olives. And I've never seen a clearer day than the day that we took this video. It might only be just a few minutes long, but it's worth getting on there and looking out, because this is exactly what you'll get to experience with Israel on the street. We also put a video on here at Jericho overlooking the Judeo desert, where Jesus went in and was tempted by the devil for 40 days, and views of the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea with there's a rainbow and the sun is rising over some in a couple of these videos over the Dead Sea and over the Sea of Galilee. I just tend to wake up in the morning and the first thing I think about is, oh my goodness, I've got to go out and video. I'm a video hound and I love taking pictures. And lucky for me, Crystal is as well. Also, if you click on resources, you can get copies of my book there. And if you'd like to contact us and know just a little bit more about us, then I've got a short synopsis there about myself. And there's a picture of me as well as just some short information. At the bottom of each page, you can click on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. And you can follow us there as well. So I'm really excited about the information that we have to offer on the website now, as you can tell, because I've just talked about it, I think, for 20 minutes. But all joking aside, I really think that you'll benefit from visiting the website and being able to receive some of the resources there and even share with us Israel on the Street. If you're the kind of person who wants to get out there and just experience Israel firsthand and even go back by yourself or take other people, this is the opportunity to learn all about it. It's very inexpensive. You're not going to end up paying $5,000 to $6,000 for a tour that somebody's going to cattle you around on. I'm not saying that they're bad, and that is a derogatory term, but it feels like that. And you're stuffed in these buses for hours on end, and you're taken from one site to the next when you really want to experience getting out and talking to the people, because isn't that what Christianity is about? Isn't it about being able to show and minister through our example, whether we even open our mouths or speak the same language, which, by the way, most, I don't know if you knew this, but most Jewish people do speak English. And when I say most, it's because there's not anyone on the street that I've come in contact that I can't communicate with somewhat. And of course, it's always nice to know a few terms like Erev Tov, Laila Tov, Boker Tov, and my favorite is Slichah. So, with that said, I'll move on. Maybe you are someone you know seeking answers to questions about your salvation, or you've had doubt about the Word of God. Perhaps you're not sure God still cares about you, or you're wondering if He even exists at all. Then please stay tuned into this series. For an in-depth look into these questions, please get a copy of my first book. Okay, it's called Tell Them I Am Sent Me. I've given this book to lost souls all over the world, from prisons to nursing homes. It's full of these very questions which keep many people from having that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, or even your loved ones, people that you know that you want to minister to, but you don't quite know how to get across what you want to say. Then I urge you to get a copy of this book. The reason I wrote it is because I wanted to be able to give hope to the people that I ministered to. And when I walked away from them, whether if it was one-on-one, ministering, dialogue on the street, meeting somebody, I was able to pull out this book and give them a copy of it. And just instead of saying, well, don't have a bad feeling about the church if you've been hurt before, or you think that there's a bunch of hypocrites that go to church, then this is the book. You need to read this book, because I don't have hours to witness to each individual. It's like they say, give a man a fish and he eats for a day, but give him a book and he'll eat. I mean, so sorry. Teach him to fish and he'll be able to, you know, eat every day. I'm sure that's not exactly how it goes. But anyway, today we're discussing the prophetic times we live in. Now that I've just spent all this time and 5 minutes trying to get on the air with you, hopefully we'll have enough time to fit all this in. If you'd like to be part of the discussion, give me a call at 515-602-9613. If you're just tuning into the broadcast, I'm your host, Deborah Powers, and we're talking about the prophetic times we live in. If you'd like to call in again with comments or questions, again, the number is 515-602-9613, or you can reach out to me at talk@WBOC Radio or write to WBOC Radio P.O. Box 413, McMinnville, Tennessee 37111. And this information is being given to you for the email and to write in, so that if you want to ask a question, or if you even have personal questions that you don't want identified with yourself, that's fine. Just go ahead and email me. I want to be there for you. That's the reason for this broadcast, is to reach out to y'all and to be able to minister to you. Sorry, I just showed you that I'm from Tennessee. I could say you guys or y'all or whatever you'll be able to identify with, just let you know that I am talking to you. If you're listening to me right now, I don't care if you're in Israel, in Africa. And also want to give a shout out to Dan, who visited me on Instagram and Facebook and was sharing some of my videos. He's from Cape, South Africa. I really appreciate you sharing the word, Dan, and just a shout out to you. If you do get on Facebook, WBSCradio.org, and you share some of the videos, you join us or you like us, then you may just get a shout out from me here on the broadcast. And there's several other people I just don't have time to mention, but he's the one that caught my attention. So God bless you, Dan. All right, so the pending date and time of the rapture, which is what we're part of what we're talking about today, is some of the doom and gloom and the things that we've heard with the prophecies and that's come to pass. But the rapture has been prophesied since Jesus's ascension. Okay, most prophecies, they were made when we actually lacked the knowledge to even understand the signs. So they didn't recognize the seasons or comprehend the changes in the atmosphere, which we're experiencing today. So we can feel this firsthand. But prophesying the rapture or placing dates and times on the end of the age is not biblical. Jesus said no one knows the day or the time. Matter of fact, not even the Son. And I cannot wait to get into my teaching on mystery of the Ketubah, because all of that is explained. Because if Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit are one, then why wouldn't Jesus know? Why wouldn't he know when the time was? There's a very reasonable Jewish explanation for that. So if you're listening and you're Jewish, you probably already know the answer. But no man knows the days of these events, when they'll take place, except for the Father. So we can recognize the times and the seasons in which we're now living based on the Word of God. Jesus said, when we recognize the signs the same way we realize summer's approaching, when the tree shoots forth, then we'll know the season. So the difference today is knowledge has increased dramatically in the last century, not to mention the last decade. And it's been, you know, through our superior, it's not been through our superiority that God's given us divine knowledge, though. It's not like we're smarter or that we deserve more than our grandparents. So these secrets have been given to us, entrusted to us, that we may identify the approaching season. Right? There is no doubt that these signs have been given to those who will believe. And if we believe right now, then God can pour out the latter rain and the early rain at the same time and bring in a mighty harvest that we're not going to be able to contain. So I'm telling you, churches, whatever you believe in the past, listen to some of these teachings. I realize that some of them in the past have been a bit boring because I was teaching from my first section of my first book, and you do get in a habit of reading some things, so bear with me because it's going to get better. But right now I want you to understand that there are the times we live in are not just crucial, but we have to be prepared to be able to receive those people. Whatever you believe, whether you believe I should or that I have the right as a Christian woman to be speaking on the air, or to be ministering, or to be teaching, or to do anything. It's absolutely ludicrous for you to believe these things if you don't think that I have the right to speak. Not just because we have freedom of speech. Not just because I can say whatever I want when I want to say it. But because God has ordained it. He says, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you, and I've ordained you that you go and bring forth much fruit. You might think, well, you're taking that out of context and saying that he's not speaking to you, that he was speaking to the apostles. Well, you know what? He was speaking to me, and he did speak to me, and he does speak today. And when we take the scriptures and we read it and we apply it to ourselves and to our own lives, when it's good or when you agree that I should, or when it says we should all obey the word of God, or if it says a man in referring to any scripture, well, then that means that I'm allowed to sin, right? Because I'm a woman. See, what I'm trying to say is that we don't have time to be splitting hairs anymore. The foundation has been laid, and now it's time to get serious. That's our point. All right, if I'm going to make a point today during this broadcast, that's my point. We have to get serious in the end times, because whether you know it or not, these are the end of days. So back to the topic, the prophetic times we live in. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. Even to the time of the end, many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall increase. Well, the first thing I want to address right there is this is Daniel verses 12 and 4 in the Christian Bible. I don't know if it's the exact scripture notations in the Torah, but look that up. You'll know the words. Knowledge shall be increased. So do you think that after 6,000 years, that all of a sudden we go from, thousands of years, even up until this last century, using nothing but the wheel, to where all of a sudden we have an iPhone and we have YouTube. We have this radio broadcast where I can reach the nations of the world and every people, tribe, nationality, every tongue. And I understand that not everybody understands English or speaks English. I wish in the name of Jesus that he would just come down and bless me with the gift of speaking in every language of the world. That would be the most amazing gift I could ever receive. Whether I could lay hands on people and they would be healed, or limbs would grow back, or they'd be cured from cancer. If I could only ask the Lord, which he doesn't work this way, people, but if I could only ask him for one thing, it would be that I could speak to you, to everyone that's listening, in your own tongue. That would be the greatest gift in the world, because then I could tell you about Jesus and how he died on the cross. And I could tell you that he is your Goel Chadim, in your own language, that he is your Redeemer, that he was the husband who came back that God promised to you, to Israel, that he is the one. And he promised him to you and said, I'm going to send my son to you. He is the one who was prophesied about. And he came and he found an unfaithful bride in us all. But do you know what he did? He had four choices. We could continue to offer those sacrifices at the temple. And all they would do is cover our sin with the blood. He could have ignored and paid that price and continued to move on, but we would never have been redeemed like the blood has redeemed us completely and washed our sins away. We no longer have to offer those sacrifices in the temple, and most of all, we don't have to worry about him, us taking the price for ourselves, because the other thing that he could have done is allowed us all to be stoned, because that's what would have been required for a Jewish bride who was found to be unfaithful. She would have had to have been stoned to death. He could have paid a monetary value. He could have set her aside and allow her to stay in her sin for eternity. But instead, he redeemed his bride. He took her place. He took all of our place. So he came back to make a new covenant with us, and to take our place, that when the word of God says that through all the nation, through Abraham, that all the nations of the world would be blessed, that is what he meant. So when we look back, going all the way back to the time of Adam and Eve, and we see the knowledge that we have today of understanding these whole thing, understanding the processes, and when we look and we think that knowledge has now become our God, G-O-D lowercase, and we worship knowledge and we worship money, which many people have for millennium, I'm telling you that we are living in a prophetic time that we have never seen before. Listen to this. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. That was prophesied 2,000 years ago by John the Revelator on the Isle of Patmos in Revelation 11 and 9. 2,000 years ago, give or take a few days. Then I'm telling you, we cannot ignore the knowledge that we have been given today when we look at this scripture, because it's through that knowledge that this prophetic word is able to take place. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about the prophetic times we live in. Give me a call, 515-602-9613, or write me a question at talk@wbocradio.org. I'm here and I'm listening. I want you to know that I will answer your questions, whether you tell me if you want it on the air or not. I'll at least answer the question, period. But I won't mention your name if you ask me not to. What he's talking about here is the two prophets who will testify for 3.5 years in the streets during the tribulation. All right, so obviously the Christians have already been taken up. The rapture of the church has been taken. They're gone. So for 3.5 years, these two prophets, which many believe, and I do too, that it is, you know what, I just had a total brain. I just forgot who they were, what his name was. Well, one of them is Elijah. He was taken up in the chariot. And there's another person in Old Testament. Call in and give me some help with that if you'd like, or write me and tell me. But forgive me. I don't know why I forgot the name. But anyway, these two people were two people that did not die. And the Word of God says it is appointed once for man to die. So that means that each person has to die. Well, if these two people have not died and they come back, then I believe those are the two prophets here. But that's just my opinion and the opinion of many scholars and theologians for that matter. But I'm just telling you, I wish I could remember the second person. It was Elijah and Enoch. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so during that time, many's going to be tormented and they're going to be convicted over the words that these two prophets are speaking. So they're going to prophesy for 3.5 years, and then the Antichrist is going to murder them. Of course, he's going to be everybody's hero because these people, the people of the nations during the tribulation, hate these two prophets. They hate them so much that when they're murdered, that there's dancing in the streets and rejoicing, and they're actually sending gifts to each other. So every people are going to be watching this. Now, when this was prophesied 2,000 years ago, this could not have taken place. When he said that everyone, every kindred and tongue and nation will be able to see their dead bodies for 3.5 days in the streets. And they won't even put them in graves. They're going to leave them laying there. Now, if that's not a travesty, I don't know what is. But you know what? God is even greater. He raises them up after 3.5 days, and he heals their bodies, and they ascend into heaven. That could have only happened through the media, through the news, YouTube, cameras, people sharing this. Everybody's going to know after 3.5 years who these people are, and they're going to be hated. So it's not like they're not going to be known. Everybody's going to know who they are, period. So here's the next prophetic word. These scriptures that I'm reading to you are scriptures that had to have taken place before before the rapture of the church. So Jesus could not come back. Now, don't confuse the rapture with the second coming. Because with the second coming, if this doesn't make sense to you when you're reading in Matthew 24 and in Revelation, that the second coming is a separate event from the rapture of the church. Jesus doesn't actually come back to the earth during the rapture. It says he comes in the clouds, and we are called up when the trumpet's blown, and we will all meet him in the air. First, the dead shall rise. So we'll meet Christ in the air, and we'll go, and we'll be probably 7 years with Jesus in heaven, going to the marriage supper of the Lamb. We'll be having a great feast and a celebration. And what's ironic to me, which I'm trying my best not to share too much with you before we get into the teachings of the mystery of the Ketubah, but when a Jewish bride and groom are married, they are a king and queen for a week, and they're celebrated as such. We are going to be with Jesus. Just so happens there's 7 years worth of the tribulation. Of course, 3.5 years are wonderful times of peace. And then the peace treaty is broken, and then you're going to see all the plagues that they talk about in the book of Revelation, and all these things will be poured out. So it's not a coincidence, to my understanding, the way I see it, that there's 7 years that, you know, Jesus is Jewish, so he is going by Jewish tradition here, that there's going to be 7 years that we're king and queen, and they're going to celebrate it as such. Now, that's just my opinion. Nowhere in the Bible does it state that, but I have a very strong inclination that that's how long it's going to be, and that the rapture of the church will take place prior, right before the tribulation. And you can base that on Matthew 24, because it says, as in the days of Noah. But I don't want to jump ahead here. I want to stick to this right here. I want to read to you Zechariah 14, 12 through 15. It says, "And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem." Hear me out. "All the people that have fought against Jerusalem, their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them, and they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor, and Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem. And the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance. And so shall be the plague of the horse, of the mule, of the camel, and of the ass, and of the beast that shall be in these tents as this plague." Again, all the animals, every beast in the field, every person that fights against Jerusalem and their animals, the plague is their eyes shall consume away in their holes and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth while they're still standing on their feet. Their flesh will consume and melt right off their bodies. Do you recognize the description of that plague? Daniel could only describe it in the words that he knew. He didn't know what he was seeing in this vision. All he could do is describe what was happening to these people. But I'm telling you right now that what he's describing is 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit, traveling at 1,000 miles per hour, otherwise known as the atomic bomb. The full impact of this devastation, which occurred from an explosion of this magnitude, was realized on July 16th, 1945. All right, so prior to that time, our parents and our grandparents and our great-grandparents, they didn't understand this scripture as well. As far as they knew, Daniel was describing just a regular plague. 3 years after that, the world witnessed the fulfillment of another prophetic word, and the nation of Israel was born in a day on May 14th, 1948. It's important that we understand the significance of these events. If we would only watch the news and read the newspaper along with the Bible, there'd be no confusion, and we wouldn't have to listen to all these reporters and broadcasters speculating on what they're seeing or what's going to happen. We'll know. All we got to do is read the Word of God. The nation of Israel was born in just one day. Do you not think that that is a prophetic word? Well, if you don't, let me point it out to you. "Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children." Now, if you want to talk about a mighty travailing that Isaiah 66 and 8 is talking about, let's talk about the Holocaust. You know, millions of Jews were murdered at these internment camps, at Auschwitz. If anyone, you go visit Yad Vashem in Israel. You know, it's the last stop on the train down on the right-hand side. If you go to Israel, you know, the first time I went, I didn't go visit it, and it was very on purpose because I know my heart, and I know how sensitive I am, and I know that I wasn't prepared to see the magnitude of torment and pain that the Jewish people had suffered because we kept our mouth shut. when I was at Christians United for Israel's Washington Summit this past few months ago, it was back in June, I had the honor of listening to a Jewish man whose parents were, or father, at least I know for sure, was a Holocaust survivor. And he is a radio broadcaster as well. And most people think he's Christian because he supports Christianity or the Christian people. But you know what he said? When he was giving his speech, he said, there's one thing that I always had in the back of my mind, if this were to ever happen again, the travesty of the Holocaust. There's one question when I would meet somebody or when I would meet a Christian and I would think about this person and I would say to myself, would this person hide me? Would this person hide me? There wasn't a dry eye in the room because every person in that building wanted to shout out and say, yes, I would hide you. My question today is, do you have hate in your heart for the next Holocaust? Or are you in denial that it ever even happened? Well, then go to Yavad Yashem and you'll see the realities of the Holocaust and the travail of the Jewish people before this country was born. My answer, and everybody's answer to that man in that room at that moment, and today and tomorrow, is yes, I would hide you. Yes, I would hide you. Praise Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We know that when we're made to be uncomfortable, we know that when we're made to be put into a situation, do or die, that's when God is able to move. And if anything came out of the millions of souls that was murdered in these fires, in these furnaces, these children, these babies, it's that the nation of Israel was born in a day, in one day. So if you don't think that May 14th, 1948 is significant, then you need to not only read history, but you need to read it through the eyes of a bride, through the Word of God. The significance of the Six-Day War of 1967 was one of God's greatest miracles ever witnessed of the 20th century. Just 19 years after Israel was reborn in 1948, and she had already been under attack numerous times and was being threatened. And some of the stuff that I've promised to share with you was the fact that why are there suicide bombings? And why is there such strife between those who are occupying Israel versus the Jewish people? And that's right, they're occupying, they're there. And this is what happened. After the state of Israel was born, all the countries, all the Muslim countries from around told their people, go to Israel and stay for a couple weeks. We're going to drive them into the sea and out of existence. They're going to wipe out Israel. People that they call Palestinians, they came from Jordan, Syria, Lebanon, Egypt, Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran. Muslim countries sent people over to try and occupy the land to keep the Jewish people from being able to say that it's theirs. Well, if you talk to these Palestinians today and the ones that are still alive saying, they'll tell you it's the longest 2 weeks of their life. Because they weren't Palestinian. There are less than 12,000 left of those people that originally came over there. The other people that are born there that are Muslim, people are angry. They're angry and they have rage. The Palestinian Authority has published propaganda to these people as children in their school. It's very sad to see what they're doing and the hate that they breed in them for the Jewish people. That's why you have suicide bombers, because until there'll be no peace until their Hamam comes back. And as long as there's peace, then he'll not come back. So there has to be strife. But they are bred and they are taught to hate the Jewish people. And so they try as hard as they can to cause strife and chaos all the time. It's extremely sad. So just, you know, like I was saying, 19 years after the nation was rebirthed, she was threatened again during the Six-Day War, they call it. It's what I was talking about. Her borders were surrounded by Egypt, Jordan, Syria, Lebanon in the north. She had no choice, you know, but to fight. They were about to be attacked, and so Israel launched an attack first and knocked out all their planes. If you want to talk about a smart military that's guided by the hand of God, then look at the IDF. I give a shout out to the Israeli Defense Forces. I wish the United States would send every one of their young people who graduate high school to the military for 2 years, men and women, girls and boys. It's mandatory that when you graduate high school, when you become of age, then you have to join the military. I have no more higher regard and respect for any nation than I do Israel. Shout out to Benjamin Netanyahu. Thank you, Bibi. When God's for you, who can be against you? He took down the walls of Jericho, and so too did God take down the walls which separated the Holy Land. So when it was finished, three nations lost territory to Israel in just 6 days, and she had tripled in size in less than a week. For the first time in over 1,900 years, the Jewish people had control of Jerusalem. I have a poster that I gotten from when I was over there, and I've seen this picture many times. And the testimony of these young kids who had actually was told to stand down to not take Jerusalem because it wasn't part of their territory or to the Armistead Agreement when they had become a country. It was not part of their territory. And people still today, if you want to know why they're fighting over territory and who belongs where, it's because that during this time, Israel took back what was rightfully theirs and what God had given them, and they had fulfilled the very last prophecy that needed to be fulfilled before the rapture of the church. There's still more to tell you, more to come. I'm not going to skip past these other things. But during this time, when they fulfilled this prophetic word, then these young people didn't even comprehend what was actually going on. They didn't even realize it. They just knew that something huge had happened. So they had been told to stand down, but the city had been abandoned and the people had left. So these small troop, I wish I was prepared to talk about this. I wish I knew their names and how old they were. I know that they were 17, 18, no more than 20 years old. They go in and they take Jerusalem. And I have this picture of these young Israeli defense fighters. They were sitting there looking at the wall and they were crying. They had tears in their eyes and they didn't even, half of them, know the magnitude and the significance of what had happened, only that they felt the presence of God. Now that's what I'm talking about. That's how prophecy is fulfilled. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now, the physical borders had been redefined. And what many didn't realize is that the spiritual borders had been as well. And God's holy people had been displaced, persecuted, led away into all the nations thousands of years for the sake of the Gentiles. Right? That's what I said, for the sake of the Gentiles, that they were blinded for a season, so that the other nations could be saved as well. What a sacrifice they have given. What a sacrifice for their Heavenly Father. The time was now drawing near. Matter of fact, the time was at hand, and it had come. And the people were coming home. Hallelujah. So, with the collapse of communist Russia in 1990, I actually remember seeing this on the news and sitting there staring at it. The Jewish people were free to leave the North Country, as it said, and make Aliyah for the first time in 74 years. So, according to the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, hundreds of thousands of Soviet Jews had immigrated to Israel since that time. And the Jewish people are even now returning from the north, south, east, and west, fulfilling the prophecy of Jeremiah. And I'm going to read that to you here. It says, "Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, The Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Lord liveth, which brought up and led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all the countries whither I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land." Jeremiah 23:7-8. Praise you, Jesus. I'm telling you right now that this word was a prophetic word. Israel had become a nation. The Six-Day War had tripled the borders of Israel, and they had now control over Jerusalem. The prophecies have been fulfilled, and it's up to us to tell the people that it could be any day now. Messiah is coming. He's coming. He's coming. The Lord told me to shout it from the rooftops. He's coming. I don't know how much higher I could get, praise God. I don't know, but he's coming. There's going to be dancing and shouting everywhere, but at the same time, there's going to be weeping and mourning in the streets like Rachel for her children when they realized that Messiah had been crucified. But what they didn't understand is that he didn't come back to be Messiah for them at that moment. He is Messiah, but at that time, he didn't come to rule on this earth. He came to rule in our hearts. Don't you understand? We've seen no other period on earth when the wickedness of man has been greater than in the days of Noah. All right, we can only expect this to increase for running neck and neck with those chasing after the ark, especially today. And the laws that we've passed, murder, suicide, drugs, rape, human trafficking. You know, the list of iniquity is beyond measure, especially from what I see. And I don't even want to watch the news anymore. I can't tolerate it. Children starving each day. There's new strains of viruses that are multiplying quicker than we can create vaccines. And we can't even begin to measure the devastation of earthquakes that, you know, have caused, this devastation in just the last decade. You know, out of fear of men, they're purchasing vacant underground, or out of fear, I'm sorry, men, you know, they're purchasing these vacant underground bunkers for millions of dollars, and they're renovating them into small communities in the hope of saving their families. They're barricading themselves in with weapons, all because they're afraid of what's going to come to pass when they don't even have to be here, because their Redeemer, the Goel Hadim, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, the Messiah, He's already redeemed them if they would just give him their heart. It says, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be." All right, we're down to 1 minute, and those of you listening live right now are about to get cut off, but I'm going to go ahead and continue with my study because I was 4 or 5 minutes short getting on the air today due to technical difficulties. Thank you, Miss Brooke. And I'm sorry. I just have to give my daughter a hard time. Anyway, I'm going to continue to study. So if you go back and you or share this word, I'm sorry. If you go back and you listen to this message, you'll get to hear the last bit of this. But those of you that are listening live right now, thank you for listening. I love you. Tune back into me on October 24th, which is Wednesday. In the beginning of next year, we're going to be going live 5 days a week. And so remember, you are the bride of Christ. Remember who you are, and God bless you. For those of you who's continuing to listen to the study, or you're listening to this later, right now, if you're just tuning in, we're discussing and you're listening to the prophetic times we live in. So if you'd like to be part of the discussion, you can give me a call at 515-602-9613. Won't be able to take your calls now because we're no longer live, but at least you'll be able to call in for future broadcasts, and you'll also be able to write me at WBOC Radio, P.O. Box 413, McMinnville, Tennessee, 37111. And you can call in at 931-563-3377 and leave a message during the show as well. You can call in on Skype if this is long distance for you because you're out of the country. I've been getting lots of listeners from even the Palestinian territory, to be honest with you. I've got people from Poland and China, all over, that are listening to the broadcast. And I just want to give you a shout out and let you know that I am hearing you and I'm listening. So you can call in and be part of the discussion on Skype live as well. I think we're about 12 hours apart from China. I believe we're 7 hours away in Poland, 8 in Israel. And that's just, you know, Germany is 7, all these places. I've got friends in Guatemala. You're actually an hour behind us. So these are people I know for a fact that are listening to the broadcast. I want you to know that I hear you and that I want you to call in and be able to be part of this discussion as well. So 12 o'clock Central Time in the United States. It's 8 hours. You'll be around 8 o'clock in Jerusalem, 7 in Germany and Poland and Great Britain and other areas in Europe. And it'll be 11 o'clock in Guatemala. So those are just some times that I'm on the air live. You can look me up on Skype through the actual I can't remember the actual name, but it is wbocradio.org. You can find me there as well, okay? So give me a shout. All right, back to this, though. I was talking about Matthew 24, 37 through 39. He says, as in the days of Noah, so are the coming of the Son of Man will be. I'm going to go back to, that's verses 37 through 39. But look at, says, these are the three questions that were asked by his apostles. He says, tell us, when shall these things be? He says, because he was talking about, let me go back up. I got to share it all with you. Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the building of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not that these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. All right, so Jesus was talking about one thing. The apostles ask him three questions. Once they sat upon the Mount of Olives, and the disciples had asked them privately, tell us, when shall these things be? So when? What shall be the signs? So they ask when and the signs. And when is the end of the world? So in Matthew 24, I urge you to go back and read it. We only have a few more minutes that I'm going to share with you. And I want you to understand these scriptures, that he goes from talking about at the beginning, he goes all the way through it, all the way through to the tribulation. And then it says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall give her light, and stars shall fall from the heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. All right, that's in verse 29. It says, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound and trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable. Now he changes the subject here in verse 32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. So he knows when these things are going to start to come to pass. But you'll have to go back up when in verse 6, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars and all these things. So likewise shall ye see, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. So when the parable of the fig tree, he's saying that we know that that these prophetic words that I just shared with you, when they have come to pass, know that the figs are starting to blossom. And I can tell you that a bud in Hebrew means nitzan. And that's, I know this because that's one of my best friends in Israel. That's her name, Nitzan. Nitzan Herzog, I hope you're listening. I love you, sister. So she's quite clear on this definition. So when we see the Nitzan, know that these things are near. So when we see the parable of the fig tree, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. The generation he's talking about is the generation that sees all these things come to pass. And if that's John Hagee, for example, his generation, like he believes, then our time is very, very near. Very near. Because he saw these things come to pass. If it's the generation of the 1967 and on, and it's that generation, we're still here. I wasn't born in 67, but I do have even a greater shot of being going up in the rapture of the church instead of dying before that happens because of my age. And I was born in the 70s. And I'm here to tell you that the time is near and we're very close. I'm not trying to scare you because there's nothing to be afraid of. Christ is coming back for those who love him. In verse 34, he says, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So listen to what I'm saying, he's telling us. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. N-O-E, no, in the King James is Noah. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, and the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding in the mill, and the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man in the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken into. Therefore be ye also ready in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is faithful and wise servant whom his Lord has made ruler over his household and given them meat in due season? And I'm going to stop right there because you can read the rest of this yourself. He's saying, who's going to sit and watch? Who's going to tell the people? Who's going to be faithful? All right, the days of Noah are the days when the flood came. The door was closed. As soon as the door was closed is when the flood waters come. That's why I can say in my own heart, in my own spirit, with a surety, that when the rapture of the church takes place, the tribulation will begin. Something is going to have to change because people are going to be disappearing. The Holy Spirit, who has held back, the Satan and the Antichrist, will no longer be here to hold them back. If you want to know what the atmosphere is going to be like in hell, I can only imagine the beginning of the tribulation, because the atmosphere here on earth has been set by the Holy Spirit. All right, the atmosphere is controlled by the Holy Spirit. When he's no longer here and there's no Christians who are holding the presence of God because he dwells in us, then what do you think is going to happen on this earth? All these efforts are in vain. Without the blood of Jesus, we have no hope. Without the saving knowledge of Christ's atonement, we'll never have peace. during troubled times. Just as in the days of Noah, the rapture of the saints will have come upon these souls like a thief in the night. Read Matthew 24. The Holy Spirit's the only one holding it back. The lost will have suddenly realized the seriousness of their situation, but it'll be too late, people. They'll no longer have the Holy Spirit of God drawing them to redemption, for the word tells us he'll be taken out of the way. So those who are left will have to remember what their mothers taught them, what their spouses tried to get them to understand in Revelation 20 and 4. People, prophecy after prophecy has been fulfilled since the rebirth of Israel. All we're waiting for is the trumpet to sound, and what we believe to be difficult times now, well, then it'll be recognized as the beginning of sorrows. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 7. Please hear what I'm saying. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you'll move upon these souls who are hearing this word. I pray, Lord, that you will bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that he died to redeem them from their sins, because the penalty of sin is death and they'll have to pay it themselves. What other nation, people, tribes, tongues, religion offers salvation from sin? Not a free pass, Father. But we know that your blood washed it away if we're willing to apply it to our lives. If we're willing to apply the blood to our sin, he's offered himself freely. And that's why Christ had to die on the cross. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. I praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I ask that you touch these people's body, that you let them know that they're healed. I speak against cancer and pain in the body. I speak against oppression and depression. I speak against it in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, I ask that for every one of the people within the sound of my voice that's listening to this broadcast, in the name of Jesus, I reach my hands out right now and I ask that you will baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Remember, people, to tune in to my future broadcasts. I don't want you to miss anything. I want to feed you. You need a shepherd. If you're just now receiving salvation, I pray that you find a godly church that preaches the word of God, that believes in the whole word of God, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, and the freedom for all people to minister and to walk in their calling. That's what I pray. Listening to me on here, get my resources. All right, you can follow me on Facebook or Twitter by going to blogtalkradio.com/WBOC. So you don't miss any upcoming broadcasts. And don't forget to tune in to the upcoming series starting January 1st on Mystery of the Ketubah. I can be reached at talk@wbocradio.org or 931-563-3377. Right? Or you can write to WBOC Radio, P.O. Box 413, McMinnville, Tennessee, 37111. Next week, I don't know what I'll be talking about. I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to do whatever he wants. If you call in with your questions, we're just going to go on the air with some questions. All right, and some real honest dialogue based off of this episode. Call in and talk to me. All right, write to me. I'll answer some of your questions online. All right, and join me on Facebook and Twitter. I'm also on Instagram right now. I'm your host, Deborah Powers. Thank you for tuning in to Bride of Christ Radio. I'll be back on the air Wednesday in 2 days, October 24th. So again, starting January 1st, we'll be going to 5 days a week, and begin the discussion on Mystery of the Ketubah. All right, so I'm going to tell you once again to visit my broadcast. All right, it's wbocradio.org. You can listen live from Bach, WBOC Radio, or if you scroll down on the homepage, you can find me down there at the bottom. You're going to see the live podcast that you can click on. And I also want you to know that you can get on Skype now. So you can actually call in on Skype. You can leave your recorded questions if you want. You know, if you don't want me to play it on the air, just let me know. I'll listen to you. Okay, but you can call. And if you call 931-563-3377 with your questions, you can leave a message there as well, any day of the week. So God bless you. I love you. Thank you for tuning in. And remember, you are the Bride of Christ.